You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we're going to be previewing Game 3 of the World Series. It's a critical game and one where each team's best starters are going out, but probably won't last that long. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts when you're staying at home during these trying and here in California, sometimes smoky days. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Isn't it weird when there's no game on? It just feels odd. It's like, come on, let's get some more baseball. We went from those days where you had, what, 8 baseball games going on at the same time to nothing. Piddly-poo. And so it felt weird. I actually did other things. I cooked. I recorded another podcast, not this podcast, but a different podcast I'm involved in. My brother was involved in that one. That was a lot of fun. But come on. I'm happy we're getting back to baseball, getting back to basics, and the fact that the Rays and the Dodgers are now tied a game apiece. It makes this Game 3 kind of critical to create a personality for at least the next few games, if not the finale of the series. The Dodgers can win, take control, and say, all right, that one game was a little bit of a fluke. It's time to go out, time to win some ball games. Tampa knows that they need to win Game 3 in order to really have a realistic shot against the Dodgers. And this is their best shot when you consider who's on the mound. Charlie Morton, the guy who everyone cheered for to beat the Astros because of all the ways the Astros cheated in 2017, without taking into account that Charlie Morton was not only on that Astros team that cheated, but was the pitcher on the mound when they won the World Series. I digress. He is their best postseason starter, and he happens to have a pretty stellar run of it as a pitcher during the postseason for Tampa Bay. He had an ERA of 0 based on his one start against the A's in the wild card game last year, and then got one of the wins that Tampa Bay got over the Astros when he won his game there. And then this year, he's 1-0 with a 1.80 earned run average against the Yankees in the Division Series and had a 2-0 record with a 0 ERA in the ALCS against the Houston Astros. Playoff experience, savvy veteran, tremendous success this year. And that brings us to Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler is being handed the ball to give the Dodgers hope. And save for one rotten game in the division series against the Atlanta Braves in 2018, he has been lights out in the postseason, including winning a start against the Braves in the League Championship Series and posting a 0.82 earned run average. Okay, but here's the deal. They average fewer than five innings or than six innings a start. So it's still going to be a bullpen game, even if they're both dominating, based upon the way that Buehler and the way that Morton pitch. Now, look it. I'm going to address a little bit of what I talked about yesterday, where I was very angry at some of the moves and the bullpen moves and everything like that. And I got some people responding to me. I stand by that the manager and the team needs to be penalized every single time the manager makes a pitching change when there is nobody on base, because stop it. I had a few people take issue with what I said. And I'll get to that in just a second. The fact of the matter is, even with Charlie Morton pitching, and he has been wonderful, the notion of him going deep in a game is probably not going to happen. Personally, I'd like to see him go late in the game, not because I'm one of these Luddites who's like, oh, in my day, they went 10 innings, even if it was only a 9-inning game, they pitched one more inning. I'm not that guy. I get the importance of quality relievers and everything like that. I just know that the Rays are going to dip into their bullpen and that the Dodgers are going to dip into their bullpen. We just see that. I have a bit of a suggestion for the Rays. Besides my don't make a pitching change when there's nobody on base, here's what I would do if I were you. I know what the Rays' strategy is. They've all but made a blimp of it and fly it around the world. What the strategy is get as much as you can out of your starting pitchers and then hand the ball over to the parade of wonderful relievers that they have. At the front of that parade is Nick Anderson, and also you have Fairbanks, and also you have Castillo. Here's my suggestion, and please, 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 please listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't use Anderson today. Don't use him. Find somebody else. Is it Ryan Thompson? Is Shane McClanahan? Is he still on the roster? Find somebody else. Is Jose Alvarado still on the roster? It's tough for me to remember. Find somebody else than Nick Anderson for this game. Do you know why? Because he's been stinking. He's been stinking like crazy. And maybe there's some sort of market correction that's going on with his pitching, which normally we would be, at this number of games, we'd be, what, halfway through May, not even into June? There's some sort of market correction that's happening with Nick Anderson. And the fact of the matter is, he has not looked good. He did not look good in the ALCS. He did not look good his first appearance in the World Series. You'd hate to see it. There have been instances where relievers who have been wonderful during the regular season have a bad week. Things snowball, and next thing you know, here we are. Find someone else. Seriously, is it Aaron Loop? Is it Ryan Thompson? Find somebody else. Don't keep handing the ball to Nick Anderson. You know, I mean, he could wind up remaining the great bullpen figure and blah, 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 all that terrific stuff. Fact of the matter is, he's in a slump, and you don't want to have to deal with that. Either way, it should be a decent game. And you have the two pitchers, and we're going to see how they go. We're going to see how deep they can really go. And then to see if the pitchers on the Rays staff who have not been doing well can recover, or they'll try someone new. Well, it's World Series time, and appropriately enough, we got Ulysses Sembrano of Locked On Rays. How you doing, man?
Good, and you? How you doing, Sully?
I'm hanging, and whoa, it's Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers. You two both do podcasts on the teams playing in the World Series. I bet there's nothing you two agree on these days.
I'll tell you what, I like chocolate.
Ooh, I like peanut butter and brownie.
Huh. Well, guess what? We can unite all of you with a Built Bar. Even if your team didn't make the postseason, there are 18 flavors. Now, that's almost the same amount of teams that made the postseason this year. But we got six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia to avoid a lawsuit, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and you got all the great original flavors. My personal favorite flavor is, do you guys know?
Strawberry?
Close. Coffee chocolate almond. Raspberry. Chocolate raspberry. Oh, I love chocolate raspberry. Let me tell you something, guys. Like a good rivalry, Built Bars are healthy.
They're great for health conscious guys. Do you guys want to lose or maintain weight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Who's going to say no to that? No, I want to get fatter. These bars are low calorie. Boom. Low sugar. Bam. High protein. What? Say that again. High protein. High fiber. It's great for the keto diet. Now, what flavor did you say, Jeff? What was the one you dug?
I like all of them, but the caramel brownie is ridiculous.
Oh, well, let's go caramel brownie. That's got 18 grams of protein, only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Boom, Ulysses, what do you like?
Ooh, peanut butter brownie. I like that one.
Peanut butter brownie. You got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. They are so close. It's like the Rays and the Dodgers in this World Series. You can't pick one. One thing you can do is you can pick Built Bar. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. What's that site again?
BuiltBar.com.
Get arms like Yandy Diaz.
I had more than one person comment on the podcast I did the other day where I was really getting mad that the Rays were stopping the game so much to make the pitching changes. And they're basically pointing out the sabermetric and the analytical points of view that that Cash was doing, and that it worked because they won. And I get it. And I understand that. I do. And I understand that, you know, the Rays won and they did the right button pushing and everything like that. I'm just talking about for my own personal entertainment. I'm just talking about when I watch a game, what I'd rather see. I'd rather see action as opposed to inaction. I'd rather see balls in play rather than a strikeout. I would rather see a bunt play that causes a little bit of anarchy than a carefully choreographed, this goes to this, this person walks, this person moves here. Action is better than inaction. This is fun. It should be a fun game. When there's a fast runner on the bases and you think they may steal a base, or it's a possibility they could steal a base, that's exciting. Seeing a pitcher trying to work out of a jam, I find that thrilling. I find that exciting. That's what I'm talking about. Of course he's pushing the right buttons. I just wish there was a way to make those button pushing a little more enjoyable. But do you know what? Here's the deal. Baseball's going to survive. Baseball's going to be all right. Do you know how I know this? Because this is the anniversary of the Joe Carter homer. Let me explain to you my connection there. All hell was breaking loose in baseball in 1993. Everyone knew there was going to be a horrible strike at one point. We weren't sure when, we weren't sure where, but we all knew it was going to happen. And it was going to be a catastrophe, a calamity, all of the above. And we knew also a couple things. There was going to be a gigantic pile of rule changes. They were expanding the playoffs, so now there was going to be a wild card team. And we just finished having a regular season that featured one of the great pennant runs in the history of baseball, which was the Braves and the Giants playing until the final game. And was it the Braves had 104 wins and the Giants got 103? It wasn't fair, but fair has nothing to do with baseball. But baseball was in huge trouble. It had been just the year before that Faye Vincent was ousted and an owner was now the commissioner, Bud Selig. He was only supposed to be there temporarily. He stuck around for a couple of decades. The players hated what was going on, and fans seemed to be indifferent. All those things happen. And in the middle of it, you had a thrilling World Series and one that ended with the Joe Carter homer. Had everyone going berserk. Meanwhile, baseball was having a facelift and then eventually would go into the 94 season, which was the beginning of the greatest strike in baseball history. And one of the absolute darkest chapters with the cancellation of the World Series. of which there was such anger and vitriol, and so many people saying, I'm never coming back, I'm never seeing a game again, I'm never seeing a game again, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And there were people looking and said, oh my God, they're distilling the product by having another round, by having a wild card. This is just awful. And we all knew there was going to be a scorched earth strike that was coming. And we all knew that that baseball was going to enter a dark, dark winter and everything. And yet, we still have baseball. Eventually, the wounds of that year were licked, and we ended up here. And eventually, things pass. Carter hit the home run. It was a huge moment. It was pretty big in Canada, too. And you saw that baseball could survive because at the subatomic level, the game itself is always going to be great. Now, Manfred is going to do a ton of stuff to try to ruin it. And there's going to be a ton of things that are going to happen here and there. Some will be big, some will be small. But in the end, the game is so great that it can withstand these attacks from the people within. And so, baseball does a lot of things that make us scratch our head sometimes, and the ownership drives us crazy. But in the end, the sport is so great they could survive what happened in 94. And we'll survive. And there are things that really upset me when they expanded the playoffs. We can't have wild cards. That actually turned out to be all right. And maybe some of the changes they're going to make, I'm going to, wring my hands about and say, oh, I hate this, I hate this. But in the end, it'll probably wind up being okay. Probably end up being okay. If that isn't optimism in 2020, I don't know what is. So go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and like us on social media, on Locked On MLB Pod on Twitter. This has been Locked On MLB for the 23rd day of October, 2020. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.